Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to tonight's very special GY3 Success Team call. I'll be your host this evening, Mr. Jim Tanner, dialing in from my home in Boston, Massachusetts. And I am standing by for you two very special guests. We're going to get right to those guests in a moment. But for those of you that are here with us live on the call, special welcome to you. You just heard us do a replay, folks from coast to coast, and, of course, a lot of folks dialing in from the Texas market, where we will all be one big happy family in just 8 days when the Legal Shield International Convention 2019, A Better World, comes to Dallas, Texas. 8 days, 19 hours, 57 minutes, and 24 seconds. But hey, who's counting? And for those of you that are listening and you might somehow possibly be on the fence, I just want to say to you, it is high time we get off the fence and get on a plane, train, bus, car, or hitchhike if you need to, but get to Dallas, Texas, because your business in 2019 and beyond, well, the secrets, the tips, the information, everything you need is going to be in Dallas, Texas. And by the way, two lucky associates that didn't already qualify with the hundreds of us that are going to Cabo San Lucas in July, two more are going to pull a golden ticket from their chair. And they're going to bring a guest to Cabo San Lucas and join us for the big Fun in the Sun event. But you have to be in Dallas, Texas to win. And on top of that, Damon John live in Dallas, the shark himself. You don't want to miss this, folks. This is our biggest event in our company history. And you're going to hear over and over and over again throughout the rest of 2019 from people who had that moment, that aha, that light bulb, that moment of decision at this event in Dallas, Texas. It's not just going to be about the information. It's going to be about the inspiration. It will be about content, but the context of that is going to be so important. And I'm excited to see you all there. And don't forget, we have our team breakout event at the conclusion of the Saturday evening session. Join us all together. We have some very important information. It'll be myself, Mr. Mark Riches, Mike Riches, and all of the leaders of the GY3 Success Team coming together. We have very important information for you. So we'll see you all there under one roof in Dallas, Texas very, very soon. I want to get right to our guest this evening. I was talking on our countdown show earlier on the Facebook page about consistency in your business. And I have a friend that is my pleasure to bring on the call from the Colorado market this evening who, when I think of consistency in your Legal Shield business, I think of this gentleman right here. We're talking about somebody who is a professional Legal Shield associate, professional with a capital P, always knows how to do a great presentation, always carries himself like a professional, but he's also consistent. He's not just walking the walk. He is doing it every single day the way it has to be done. And here's how I measure consistency in our Legal Shield business: Performance Club. It is as simple as that. And you're going to hear from a gentleman here in a moment who's going to tell his Legal Shield story and give you some thoughts about consistency. Please welcome to the call a gentleman who is now celebrating 100 months in the Performance Club, enjoying freedom bonuses and trips as a Performance Club member. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the call my good friend, Mr. Chris Ward. Chris?
Hey, Mr. Tanner. How is everything?
Everything is great. Thank you for joining us this evening.
Hey, I am honored anytime I get invited in. And team and family, I appreciate being invited to share my story on this call. You couldn't be working with better leadership. But I'm super excited about the Dallas events coming up. And that's going to be part of what I wanted to share with you is how I got consistent. For those of you that don't know me, again, my name is Chris Ward. My background was U.S. Army. I served proudly for 11 years. And after I got out of the military, I was like a lot of people in transition where I was applying for jobs. You know, I had amongst my 11 years, I had 4 years of overseas service. I speak two foreign languages, enough college credit for about two PhDs, but none all in the same area. So I didn't have a degree, but I thought I had a resume that would have landed me a six-figure job wherever I would have applied. Sadly, though, that last year in the Army, my time ran out. I wasn't employed, so I had to look at business ownership. So I started a video production company, a jazz record label, out in California. And me and my partners, we actually hired an attorney. We understood the necessity to have access to an attorney, but our attorney charged us a $10,000 retainer, and he was $400 an hour. And so whenever, even though we hired the attorney, we were very reluctant to chew into that retainer. So I still found myself starting a business, spending a lot of time downloading legal documents, Google searching legal questions, talking to some of my other business owners about what they thought as opposed to what was legal. And it was about 8 months later that a gentleman came into our office, and he was talking to me and my partners, and he said, "Hey, if I could show you a way to protect and grow your business, would you be willing to give me about 10, 15 minutes of your time?" And so both those struck a nerve. I was interested in protecting and growing my business. So we sat down and we looked at the business plan for our company, and it made a lot of sense. I'm a very analytical guy, so one of the things I was very attracted to, the fact that they said the plan was month to month. So if it didn't work, I wasn't at a great loss there. Maybe it's part of my non-committal nature, but I'm like, hey, you know, if this doesn't pay for itself, it would be, you know, worth just dropping. Well, after just a couple months, I realized it saved our company probably a couple $1,000s just from the usage alone. And at the same time that I was looking at the membership, he showed me a referral opportunity where if I just referred these services to other people, I could generate some additional revenue. Well, anybody that's ever started a new business knows, especially if you didn't have a lot of investment capital to start with, I was operating on a shoestring budget just from the savings I had from the military. So I didn't have much to work with. And so I thought, well, if I just refer this out and it paid for itself in referrals, it'd be like I was getting the membership for free. Well, I messed it all up. My very first month, I went out and referred it to some business owners and family and friends, made $800 my very first month just in referrals. And, you know, I was at that point, I still wasn't sold on the Legal Shield opportunity. I was very passionate about building my two companies. I was working 7 days a week. I mean, it was very sexy, you know, video producer and jazz record label director. And it sounded nice, but I was tired. I was working around the clock at the recording studio. We were hosting events just to make some additional revenue as well. And so I felt like I was just turning and burning every single day with the horizon way off in the distance. And so when I got started, it was about 6 months into my business. So I'd already been in business for 8 months when I got started with Legal Shield. 6 months later, as we were growing, we started getting more popular. We were in the newspapers, the magazines, and in television spots. And folks, this was all local. So, you know, local newspapers, local magazines, local news spots. So it always sounds nice, but we're talking about Monterey and Carmel. So very small towns in central California. And so when we got started, we started to rise, and I was in all these newspapers. All of a sudden, me and my partners get a letter from a law firm where we were being sued for $2 million. As it happened, the business or the owner of the company that owned the record label before we did took out a $2 million loan leveraging the company. I never saw it. When we went through all the books and the finances and everything, we never saw that this loan ever existed. And so the debt became ours. We got sued. Thanks to Legal Shield, I personally was removed from the lawsuit, but that didn't stop them from taking everything I had. So I had to sacrifice my company and hand it all over to this bank. And so I went from, you know, you don't just go broke, you go like negative broke. And I was in such a bad situation that I had to sell my truck just to have rent money for the following month. Here we were, and this was, and I'll never forget, it was this March or April, so it was March of 2008, and we had this Oklahoma conference coming up. Well, after I lost everything, you know, I had to go to my executive director at the time, and I said, you know, sorry, unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to make it to the conference. Now, I made all the bad decisions. I didn't get pre-registered. I didn't buy an airline ticket. I didn't reserve a hotel. So it was easy for me to make that decision to opt out of it because I honestly could not rub two nickels together. So I'm standing in my executive director's driveway one night, and I said, you know, I'm sorry I can't make it. And she asked me a question. She said, Chris, do you see yourself as being a top income earner in Legal Shield? And I kind of, you know, again, I wasn't really serious about my business. And I said, no. I said, yeah, someday, you know, in the distance, you know. But and she goes, well, if that's truly how you feel, if you see there's an opportunity here for you, then you have to get to the conference. And I was like, well, how am I going to do that? And I'm hoping that she's going to say, well, I'll pay for it. She didn't say that. She said, you need to figure it out. So I did, you know, I went home just kind of like with my tail tucked between my legs. And I remember sitting there at the computer just racking my brain because, honestly, my family couldn't afford the money to just, you know, donate to me. The bank isn't going to give me a loan, so on and so forth. It was such short notice that I really didn't have a plan. And I don't like asking people for help anyway, so that was a challenge that that I needed to overcome. And then it dawned on me. I was remembering that after I got out of the military, I bought this really expensive bedroom set. And everybody knows or has had that bed in their life that they're like, this is the perfect bed. The mattress is the perfect, you know, you can sleep, you know, in it. It was perfect. It had matching nightstands and an armoire and everything. It was a beautiful bedroom set. So I thought to myself, what if I put this up on Craigslist? And so I thought maybe I could raise the money to pay for the trip. So I did. I took some, went into my bedroom. I took some pictures of my furniture, put it up on Craigslist. And when you have it, 30 minutes later, I get a call from a lady who says, hey, I'm remodeling a house. I think this furniture would be perfect for the remodel. She goes, is it okay if I come in the morning and measure it? So I said, sure. She comes, and right after she called me, I called my executive director. I said, hey, I think I found a way to get to Oklahoma. So the next morning, make a short, long story short, she comes, takes a look at it. She buys it cash right there. Boom. Now, however, because I sold it for so little of what it was worth, I could only afford a one-week airline ticket because here it is, last minute again. I'm only like a week from the convention. I had to buy a conference ticket from another associate, had to reserve a hotel room. I was able to split it with another gentleman. And then I figured I had enough money just to cover food, but not really much for entertainment. Now, at the time, corporate was giving away two Mustangs. So I thought that this was kind of God's way of saying, hey, you get to Oklahoma and you're going to win a Mustang and drive it home. So that actually became my battle plan. Needless to say, I did not win the Mustang. And as it was, I found a very inexpensive one-way flight home from Oklahoma on the Sunday afterwards. But I say all that to say this, because when I went to Oklahoma, I went to the corporate office, went to the convention, heard from all the big speakers, and what had happened was I got to see the big picture. I recognized the fact that the company had invested so many millions and millions and millions of dollars in not just the corporate office, but building out the infrastructure of Legal Shield nationwide and had a vision of how far we were going to move this needle over the course of the next 10, 15, 20 years. And it was then that I said, I need to take this a little bit more serious. So I turned around after I get home from Oklahoma, boom, as he had said it, you know, I've actually been consistent. You know, he said it's been 100 months in Performance Club, but that was a computer glitch. I've been in Performance Club now for 10 years. The reason it says 100 and not 120 was because there was a computer glitch whenever they switched from Performance Club 5 and 10 to the new system. For those of you who know what I'm talking about, PC 5 and 10, there was a switch, and so they only counted how long I'd been consistent Performance Club 10 from then point on. But it was after that convention, and within a few months, folks, I kid you not, within about 4 months, I went a qualified director, going from manager to director in the course of 4 months. And then it was not even a year later, I qualified executive director. You fast forward to now, folks, I'm the network vice president of Colorado and Wyoming. I travel more in a year than any job would honestly ever give me access to. And I'm more excited about this Dallas convention because I don't even know what's going to get rolled out. But from what I've heard is that they're showing us systems and the plan. I mean, I already know, this isn't even a secret, that we're expanding to the remaining provinces in Canada. And we're over in the UK, and they're going to be talking about that. So if that's just a little bit of growth over the course of this year, 2019, I can't even imagine what Legal Shield is going to look like 10, 15, 20 years from now. And if you want to get that big picture like I did, I would consider sacrificing whatever you need to and making Dallas an absolute mandatory. Just get there, and I look forward to seeing each and every one of you there. And I'm going to turn the phone back over to Mr. Tanner. Thank you for your time.
Mr. Ward, thank you so much. We love hearing from you. I love your story. We're appreciative of you to continue as our organization has been hearing from network vice presidents from across the country. Thanks for your time again this evening, your consistency, your professionalism, and your story about the Dallas convention. I appreciate that because it is worth whatever it takes to get to the convention. Thanks again, Chris Ward. And we're going to continue on. I'm going to be brief in my introduction. I would love to give a 20-minute flowery introduction, but the fact is, if you've been with us for any length of time in this organization, you know how I feel about our next speaker and my special guest for this evening. This is a gentleman who, when you poll the millionaires in the network marketing profession around the globe, and you ask them who has impacted your life and your business the most, the gentleman you're about to hear from this evening, his name is on that list over and over and over again. The people whose books you read and seminars you watch on YouTube and folks that are in leadership positions and incredibly successful financially in network marketing companies, again, around the globe, speak to Todd Falcone as a coach, as a mentor, and speak of him as an influence in their lives and their business. And I especially have been influenced, as you know, not just influenced, but directed, mentored, and encouraged. And as a matter of fact, this is the first gentleman to ever encourage me in my journey in network marketing. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce to the call none other than the master, motivator, and mentor to the network marketing profession now for 25 years, Mr. Todd Falcone. Todd?
Jim Tanner, what's happening, my friend? How are you?
I am so great, man, and we just love having you on the call tonight. Thank you for stopping by.
Yeah, no, it's my pleasure. This is awesome, and great to hear from Chris at the beginning. It's interesting listening to his story. I actually spent 11 years living in Pacific Grove, Monterey area, so definitely know the old stomping grounds. And, you know, hearing the story about going to that first event, right, it was like, oh, my gosh, that's like we have a very similar background. But mine was 30 years ago in 1989, actually first part of 1990 when I got started in network marketing. I had somebody who said this very same thing to me. There was an event that was coming up. I had spent all my money basically joining the company and didn't have any money. And the guy said, hey, do you want to be a leader in this company? I said, yes, I do. He said, well, leaders attend events. If you want to be a leader in this company, you need to be at this event. And I made it happen. And back, I remember the event was $300 to attend that two-day seminar in La Jolla, California. And it's the only time I ever slept in my car. I slept in my car the whole weekend, and managed to make it happen. I made it down to that event. But that's honestly, looking back at my career, that one event is what locked me in because it enabled me to see the bigger picture, other than just like the people that I was around, the friends that were involved in the business. It just made it that much more real to me. And I got to be straight with you guys. That was literally the thing that locked me in and said, okay, I'm in the right place at the right time. This is the right business model for me to be in. And I started as a 22-year-old kid, so I didn't know anything about anything, really. And so events are critical. That's not, and so obviously, I mean, Chris, you did a great job in covering the importance of being at events. This is where leaders are made. This is where you're able to surround yourself with other successful people. My deal is, look, in fact, I don't think I've ever been to a network marketing event and thought, oh, man, I wish I had less people on my team here. It was always like, oh, if only such and such could have been at this event, he would have seen it or she would have seen it. So events are critical, and they are the lifeblood of growing a successful community in the network marketing profession. But I'm excited to be here. I've spent, like I said, almost 30 years. In August, it'll mark my 30-year anniversary in network marketing, which is absolutely crazy to even think about. Not in and out of network marketing, but in network marketing the entire time. And so, you know, the last 15 years, almost 15 years, I've been speaking full-time. I retired as a distributor and, you know, began this journey of speaking and training and teaching the things that worked well for me. And it's taken me all over the planet. 29 countries I've spoken in. Almost every weekend I'm on the road flying someplace to speak for somebody somewhere. During the week, like right now, I host calls and Zooms and webinars for different distributor organizations and companies. And, you know, I'm very passionate about helping people figure out this network marketing game, right? And because when I started, I struggled. My first couple years, it was a struggle. I was hungry. I had the desire. I was working hard, but it was like I was hitting a brick wall the first couple years, and I didn't see the financial return on my time invested. But I was also hungry enough to stay. And I think one of the first things, and I want to talk about, because I've been interviewed quite a bit lately on different pretty significant podcasts. I was actually interviewed on a radio show recently that was syndicated over hundreds of different radio stations, so regular FM radio. And the guy asked me some questions, and I get asked a lot. And I think a good thing for you guys to be would be, I think the word is inquisitive, curious, wanting to know, willing to ask. If you don't know, the only way you're going to know is by asking. If you're unclear, the only way you're going to be clear is by asking. And I was always, and still am, an inquisitive and curious person because, you know, there's plenty of people out there that are successful that if you just ask them a question, they're going to give you an answer. They're willing to help. I mean, successful people don't go, I'm not going to help you out. Get out of here. We want to help. I mean, if somebody's hungry to learn, I'm certainly more than eager to help that person figure it out because, look, my even though I'm a professional speaker for a living, I travel, teach, and train network marketing, I'm a distributor at heart. I mean, that's the only thing I've ever done has been in the field as an independent distributor. So I know the things that we experience, the great things, the frustrations, the challenges, all of those experiences that we, you know, encompass being an independent distributor in network marketing, and I know it firsthand. And so when I was interviewed recently, this guy said, so can you point out what's the number one reason why you've been successful in network marketing as an entrepreneur over the past 30 years? And I told him, I said, look, it's, you know, for me to give you one, it's impossible. I mean, the fact that, you know, Chris, for example, 120 months of being the performance club and that whole art of being consistent. Yeah, for sure. Okay. I've been consistently doing the right kinds of revenue-producing activities over an extended period of time. That's certainly a key reason why I've been successful. And that has to do with the decision point. It has to do with your own personal decision to go, okay, I'm going to do this. And by doing this, I'm going to make sure that I'm focusing on the right kinds of activities that are going to lead me to production. In fact, I would give you a challenge right now. Like if you're listening and you're saying to yourself, yeah, I'm in this deal. I'm hungry. I want to do this. I want to make the most of it. I'm full on committed, whether you're part time, spare time, or full time, that you're committed to growing your Legal Shield business. Then here's a challenge. This is something I do on every stage that I speak on all over the world, and this is an accountability exercise. And it's a very simple one. It's a telltale sign to determine whether you're in the business or you're just talking about being in the business. So do me a favor. If you're taking notes right now, draw a little box on a piece of paper, a little square, maybe 1 inch by 1 inch, and in that box I want you to write a number. And the number you're going to write in there is this. How many new exposures today, new people did you reach out to today to talk to them about Legal Shield? Not who'd you think about, who'd you write down on a list, who were you pondering or pontificating over, who'd you reach out to today? What's the number? And I would challenge you, if you really want to have a life-changing experience, end every day by drawing a box on a piece of paper and being real with yourself, because one thing I found out about being an entrepreneur is we have to be in a position of integrity with ourselves before we can ever be in a place of integrity with somebody else. And people all the time, they lie to themselves. They kid themselves into believing that they're really an active distributor in network marketing when they're just a bench warmer. They're there, they're hanging out, but they're really not doing anything. So if you got a zero in that box, it's not a good number. If you got a one, okay, I mean, I feel like taking a nap. I mean, come on, one person in an entire day, I feel like really, maybe I should go lay on the couch because I'm so tired. I called one person. Two, you're moving up. Three, you're getting there. And I have a little phrase that I've been saying for 12 years on stages around the world. Double digits a day keep the commission checks on their way. What's the first double digit? First double digit's a 10. Well, does that mean you have to talk to 10 people or do 10 reach-outs every single day, otherwise you're not going to be successful in network marketing? No, but zero doesn't cut it. But let me tell you something. What if you did? What if you just committed to, I'm going to do 10 reach-outs every single day? And that, again, some of you are part-time and you're doing this in your spare hours and you may not have the time to do 10 reach-outs a day. But what if you did? What if you're like, hey, I'm not going to bed till I reach out to 10 people a day every single day that I work my business? Your business will be impossible for your business to be in the same place a year from now if you committed to that. I'm telling you, it would be a life-altering, permanently life-altering experience for you financially if you committed to that kind of consistency in reaching out and sharing with people about what you do. So, look, again, I do that exercise for you to look in the mirror and go, okay, again, that's asking yourself a simple question when you end up your day. Go in the bathroom, look at yourself in the mirror, and ask yourself this, would I hire me? Based on how I'm showing up until now, would I hire me? And if I go in the bathroom right now and ask myself this question, I say, heck yeah, I'd hire me. I wish I had 50 of me. because I show up. I get it done. I wake up in the morning early. I get after it. I focus on revenue-producing activities, the things that matter the most. You guys know what matters the most, exposure, talking to people about what you bring to the marketplace. You represent one of the most successful network marketing companies in the history of network marketing, and you have the opportunity to make significant change, but the only way that's going to happen is for you to consistently do the right kinds of activities. And we already know, you already know what those revenue-producing activities are. So what I want to talk about tonight is, because this guy asked me, you know, this question, and I said, well, I mean, consistently doing the right activities, working hard, you know, the willingness to roll up my sleeves and get after it, willing to push through roadblocks and barriers and obstacles and not be defeated, you know, because I had a bad day, to get up the next day and, you know, this day could be better if I just, you know, continue to trudge myself forward. But if I were to bring down my career, look at my career in network marketing and narrow it down to like one thing, I'm going to tell you right now what it is. The one thing that has led me to success in this profession is relationship building. And so I want to talk to you guys about tonight, because there's a lot of things that I do that most people don't do when it comes to relationship building. This is a network marketing business. It's a business of relationship building. And when you understand that, you have to start to do things a little bit differently. Now, the things I'm going to share with you tonight, they require effort. They don't require necessarily a lot of effort, but they do require effort. It doesn't happen automatically, but I'll tell you this. When you do the things that I'm sharing with you this evening, it will literally create a Grand Canyon between you and anybody else that you compete with in the marketplace. Let's look at why do people buy? Why do you go to that same restaurant over and over again? Why do you go back to that other business over and over and over again? You can repeatedly go back to, well, because they make you feel good. You know, they treat you well. They know your name. They know what you like to order. You're greeted with a smile. They make that experience feel amazing. So you feel, and human beings want to feel welcomed, invited. They want to feel accepted, embraced. They don't want to feel cast out, ignored. People want to feel like they're part of something. And so, and by the way, what I'm teaching you guys tonight, any of you can do this. This is not hard, okay? There's nothing technically challenging about what I'm going to be sharing with you. You understand why people buy. Well, people buy because they like you, they trust you, and they feel good about you. That's selling 101. Your objective is to create a buyer-friendly environment. How do you create an environment that's conducive to production, where people, when they think of you, they're like, hey, I'd love to do business with this guy because he's just a cool dude, or every time I'm around him, he makes me feel better having been around them before I had that experience with him or her, right? So if we understand that people buy because they like you and they trust you, they feel good about you, then what you've got to do, your mission literally, is to do everything that you can to be a relationship builder. A couple things. One, be the most positive person in that individual's lives. So, you know, it's easy to become grumpy or, you know, have a bad day and bring our bad day upon somebody else. I learned a long time ago, and we all have problems. But, you know, in fact, back in the day, we worked at training centers, and we were taught, hey, if you got problems, as soon as you pull up to the office, get out of your car, lock your door, lock your problems in the car. They'll be back, you know, when you leave the office later that day. Just don't bring them into the environment. And so if you can make it your point to be the most positive person, the person that smiles, that person that makes people feel good, that literally makes you different than most people anyhow, because people will bring their toxic stuff to you. You probably have friends, family members. Like, I got family members. I didn't want to hang out with them because every single time I'm around them, all they want to do is, drum up and stir up drama and negativity. And it's just like, do you really want to be around that? Do you like being around negativity? Toxic people, dramatic people, people that like to stir it up all the time. You avoid those people like the plague. And so if you're looking to be successful in this business and understand that, hey, this is a relationship-building business, you got to do everything you can to build relationships. Part of it involves you being that super positive person, that's a person that doesn't drama, that doesn't gossip, that doesn't bring around negativity. I mean, look, even like with your clothes, I got friends of mine that'll, look, you can cry on my shoulder, you can tell me about what's going on, and it's not that I don't want to hear about your stuff, but if every single time you're around somebody, it's just, ugh. It's just, I don't want to be around that any longer. I mean, I understand we all have bad days and sometimes bad weeks and bad experiences, but if all the time it's just, you just kind of decide to spend less time with those people. I already mentioned the other thing, being inquisitive, not just about getting answers to, you know, your own questions about creating success and being curious about it, but being inquisitive about other people. There's something like there's a book called How to Win Friends and Influence People, which is one of the greatest books ever written. And there's a there's a section in that book. If you don't own that book, I mean, think about the title, How to Win Friends and Influence People. No, I don't want that book. That's awful. That's a terrible title. I mean, come on. What an amazing – first of all, the title itself makes you want to buy the book. And then the content in the book is brilliant. And one of the things they teach in there is this whole concept, and I talk about this on every stage I speak on, how, and the concept is be genuinely interested, not interesting. And let me bring it to you in the concept of network marketing, because, you know, we get started in network marketing, we want to go tell people about our stuff, and all of us have probably verbally vomited on somebody, you know, or especially early on in our network marketing career. We're like, I got to tell them, I'm so excited, and we should be enthusiastic and excited. You just found this opportunity to change the quality and the direction of your life. What's not to be excited about that, right? But you know, sometimes we get so caught up in like, let me tell you about me, let me tell you about this, that we don't even take the time to slow down. And let me tell you, this is how you make recruiting easy. You make recruiting easy by being authentically and genuinely interested in another person. When you're engaging somebody in conversation, you're asking about them, not interrupting them. One of the rudest things that people can do is cut you off mid-sentence, and if that's a bad habit for you, that needs to stop. Now, I understand if we're on political television, if we're on CNN or Fox News, and you got people arguing with one another, and they're just talking all over each other and yelling, and the guy in the middle is like, okay, guys, we'll just cut to a break. We're not doing political stuff here, right? We're having conversations with people about how they can change the quality and the direction of their life. And when we're engaging somebody in conversation, they're saying something to you. And I'm so in tune with this that I pick up on it everywhere. And most people are horrific at this. Somebody's saying something, and the person interrupts them mid-sentence. The moment you do that, what did you just do to that person? You just said, hey, I'm more important. What I have to say is more important. You're not as important. And let me make my point. Okay? Now, if you're in an argument, that's one thing. But, you know, and even in an argument, better to hear them. Go ahead. Tell me what's wrong. Tell me what's going on with you. I'll hear you out. I'll pause, if even for a second, before I respond. And that momentary pause, that actually shows the person that you heard what they said. Like if you just finish your sentence and I'm on top of it immediately, it's like, did you even hear what I just said? I pause, if even for a moment. And unconsciously, the person goes, oh, the person heard me. They paused for a second before they responded. In fact, let me give you a quick example. Like I'm on this, I see you guys everywhere, all you network marketing people. I'm on airplanes every week. I see the logos. I see the T-shirts. I see the bags. I see the swag. I see all the stuff. And I'm the outgoing guy that'll come up to you from 100 yards away, and I'll see you carrying your Legal Shield bag and run up and go, yo, what's up? Legal Shield, high five, or whatever. I'll say hi, right? And I get on this plane one time. I'll give you a quick example. I get on this airplane. I'm coming back from Denver. Actually, no, I'm coming back from Dallas, back up to Seattle, and I was leaving an event. I get on a plane. There's a woman in the middle seat behind me where I was sitting on the aisle seat, and she has a logoed T-shirt for a network marketing company that I recognize. And I looked at her. I said, oh, Company X. And she says, oh, are you familiar with us? I said, I am. And she goes, oh, well, are you on our products? I said, I'm not. She goes, oh. And she gives me this disgusted look like, how could you know about our products? Not, you know, our products are bilated, chelated, nutrilated, massive absorption, blah, 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 blah. And she just like verbally vomits all over me in the airplane. I'm thinking, I'm standing there going, are you done? Can I sit down now? And I sit down in my seat in front of her. And look, I'm not God's greatest gift on planet Earth to network marketing, but I'm pretty darn good at it after 30 years. She doesn't understand the concept, because let me show you how it could have gone. Because I flew home. I didn't turn around and say, do you know who I am? I wouldn't do that anyhow. And I'm sitting there, and I get home, and I'm like, but here's what could have happened. This is the slight difference. This is how it could have gone for her if she understood what I'm teaching you right now. Oh, Company X. Oh, are you familiar with us? Yeah, I am. Well, how are you familiar with us? Oh, well, you're actually the very first network marketing company I joined in August of 1989. Really? Are you still involved in network marketing? Very much so. What do? I teach it. You teach network marketing? I teach network marketing full-time. What's your name? Todd? You're not Todd Falcone, are you? Yep, that's my name. Oh, and who's not going to switch a middle seat for a middle seat? I could have given this woman free coaching for 4 hours if she just understood the simple concept of being genuinely interested, not interesting. And so many times we get into conversations with people. I want you to think about this for a second. You're chatting with somebody. You're getting to know somebody. You're getting, you know, and you're a network marketer. You're trying to figure out, how do I get to the peak interest question? How do I segue the conversation over? Is it time for me to ask the you're trying to shimmy. You're like, wait, is this the moment? Is this the – no. If you just get somebody talking about themselves, everything that you need to know is going to be revealed to you. They're going to tell you whether they're stressed out. They're going to tell you whether they don't have enough time, not enough vacation, not making enough money. They're going to tell you whether they have a need or desire to create a change. But what we have to do is we have to be authentically interested in other human beings. And when I'm telling you, the other thing about this, you got to be kind of careful, because you do this with the opposite sex, and you're talking to somebody and you're listening to them, they're going to go, they'll literally fall for you. I mean, sometimes figuratively, sometimes literally, most of the time figuratively, and they'll go home and they go, oh my gosh, I just met the coolest person. Well, who'd you meet? I don't even get their name. Well, why are they so cool? Because they listen to me. And think about, and when you start to understand this and you start to go out in the marketplace and you see other people that are constantly interrupting others, it's mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing. And if you just, and here's the thing, and I'll tell you one thing that I do that's been a habit of mine, and it's so crazy to me how few people actually do this. And this is one of the biggest difference makers for me personally in relationship building. When I meet somebody, in fact, I'd even ask you, if you were to open up your phone right now, are there people's names and phone numbers in there and you don't even know who they are? I know we're not going to unmute the lines and ask, but I mean, you open up and you're like, who's Dave? I don't even know who Dave is. You look at the notes, you're like, I don't even have any, who's Dave? Who's Dave Jones? I don't know who Dave Jones is. So you got people in your phone, you don't even know who they are. There's not a single person in my phone that I don't know who it is. Want to know why? And I have over 6,500 personal contacts in my phone. Every single contact in my phone has notes on them. So if I met you, I did this last week. I had a one-on-one meeting with a guy here in Bend, Oregon. We had a chat. I was learning about him, asking him questions about himself, his business, his wife, his kids, where they're from, all these things. The moment I got into my car, I immediately started adding that stuff to the contact record. Met at Back Porch Coffee Roasting on this date, was referred to me by this guy, talked about this, got three kids, his wife's name is this, da-da-da-da. All the information that I could download out of my brain and put it in there. And if you're on the phone all day long, if I'm sitting here on the phone, as I'm talking to you, I'm putting notes in your contact record. I keep explicit notes, and there's a reason for it. Well, when was the last time we chatted? What did we chat about? How did we meet? I was sitting in Salt Lake City about, 3-4 years ago, and I meet this guy, Brandon, and I was like, Brandon, and I got his last name. I go, we met before. And he goes, we have? And I kind of opened up my phone. I said, yeah. And I looked at my phone. I said, yeah, we met in 1997. You were in Company X at that time and living over here. He's like, how did you know that? I said, well, you're sitting next to me, so I'll tell you. I've got notes on you in my phone from the first time we had a conversation. He's like, that is crazy. I had the date of the conversation, how we met, what we talked about, what he was doing at that time. And he's like, I don't even do that. I said, well, it might be a good time to start. I mean, because relationships are everything. The capital that you create through your relationship building is the most valuable capital you'll ever have. And so the other thing about this, okay, here's another – let me give you another thing that I do, okay? Not only do – you know, I take notes on every single person, so – This is my challenge to you. I swear from this day forth that every single new person that I meet, when I put them in my phone, they will have notes on them, so I will never, ever forget who that person is in the future. I will know their birthday, their anniversaries, their kid's name, their wife's name, where they're from. And I'm not saying you prod people with questions, with 97 questions to grab all this information. Where'd you grow up? What college did you go to? What'd you get your degree in? What was your first job? What's your work background? What's your wife's name? What's your kid's name? How old are they? When's your birthday? What's your anniversary? I'm not saying to do that, but through casual conversation, you can pick up on all this stuff. What are they into? Let me give you something that's super cool. Want to know how to blow people's minds? Will you find out what someone's deepest passion or interest is? What their thing is, what they're interested in. If you followed me around on Facebook for even a couple days, you'd figure out pretty quickly without even having a conversation with me what I'm into. I'm into the outdoors. I love skiing. I love fishing. I love playing golf. I love anything that has to do with being out in the trees. I love mountain biking. I love camping. I love, again, any outdoor activity. You wouldn't even have to know me necessarily to know what I'm into. In fact, I flew to Houston a few months ago to speak for this guy, and the host, he called me. He said, just so you know, the limousine's going to pick you up, and my dad's flight came in at the same time, and you're both going to be in the limo. And I'm like, that's cool. He said, but just so you know, my dad is super grumpy. I'm like, oh, okay. He's like just a grumpy old man. He's like 80-something or whatever, 87. He's crotchety. And I go, okay, fine. And he goes, and it was like an hour drive in the limousine in the back with this crotchety old dude. And he said, but he loves fishing. And that's all I needed to hear. So we get in the back of the limo, and I'm like, hey, how you doing? He's like, he was kind of grumpy. And I said, so Tom tells me you like to fish. And he looks at me, and his eyes literally like just wide open. He goes, I don't like to fish. He goes, I live to fish. And I go, really? I said, what kind of fishing do you like to do? He says, I love fishing for bass. I'm like, largemouth and smallmouth? He goes, yes. And he immediately shifted, and he starts pulling out his phone. He goes, look at this lunker. Check this one out. This is my own private lake on my ranch. And he's like, we drove for like an hour and 15 minutes in the back of the limousine. By the time we were talking all the way into the hotel. I was sharing my fishing stories. He was sharing his fishing stories. We were like best friends. Because I found out what this guy was into. Now, here's what you do. Once you find out what somebody's deepest passion or interest is, you feed it to them. So, for example, if I had his email address and I saw some bass fishing video of some guy pulling in a 17-pound Florida largemouth and something on whatever, I'm like, oh, I bet he would like that. I'm going to send him the YouTube video. You see an article that matches up with someone. You see a news article. You read a magazine clipping. You're out and about, and you see something. You're like, for example, every time I see peppers, like jalapeno peppers or any pepper, period, my sister's way into peppers. So if I see pepper socks or pepper lights or pepper anything, I'm like, oh, that's my sister. I mean, I've purchased her random stuff, just not even thinking about, oh, look at this pepper card. Look at these pepper lights, these pepper stuff. And what that does, like, and I'm not saying you run out and you go buy a bunch of people gifts, but the key to your relationship building is knowing people. And like, if I sent my sister, and I've done this many times, but I sent her these pepper lights, right? So I sent my sister these pepper lights, and it was unexpected. It wasn't her birthday. It wasn't anything. It wasn't Christmas. She's thinking to herself, and of course it's my sister, but she's going, my brother knows me. If this was a friend, and a friend sent you something. I got a couple quick examples. Like, I got this guy, Don. I won't say his last name, but 4 or 5 years ago, I did this post on Facebook. And so I'm 52, so I grew up in the 70s, and there's these candies in the 70s that are just kind of gone. Like, you have to go into some archaic candy store to find stuff. And I made some comment about, you know, where's all the 1970s candies like Chico Stick and Abba Zabba and Mary Jane's or what, I don't know, whatever I said, and just some entertaining post. And a couple weeks later, I go to my mailbox, and I get this box, and I come into my kitchen, I open up the box, and the first thing I see in the box is a Chico Stick, or no, Fun Dip, Fun Dip. And I was like, what is that? And I pour it out on my counter, and it's all these candies from like way back in the day that you just can't go into like the drugstore and buy those candies because they just don't even exist. And there's a card in there, and it was like, hey, Todd, this is Don, blah, blah, blah. Listen, I saw your Facebook post. My daughter and I drove around town, found these cool candy stores, put this little package together. I hope you enjoy the candies, and make sure you share them with your kids so they can have the same, you know, they can experience the, you know, whatever. And look, Don, I'll never forget Don. He didn't have to do that. But if Don called me up, and let me tell you something, I don't help anybody move. I mean, you like, we know when you got your college buddies, you can move my one-bedroom apartment, your studio apartment, that's one thing. When you get past two bedrooms, asking your buddies to help you move, that's when you hire movers, right? If Don called me up today, he goes, hey, can you come down to Texas and help me move? I would literally fly on a plane and go help him move. I'm not even exaggerating. I would buy the ticket, I would fly to Texas, and I would help him move. And I don't help people move. Why? Because the things that Don has done, even one thing, I'm still talking about him years later, where he did something that made an impact. So when you know what somebody's into, what their interests are, you can feed it to them, whether it's a YouTube video or some entertaining something or an article. Or a couple years ago, for example, I was Bob Ross for Halloween. I don't know if you don't know who Bob Ross is, but Bob was this guy who on PBS, who's this big, you know, big curly-haired dude who made these amazing paintings, and he was so gentle. And, you know, those little happy little trees, we'll put some little clouds over here. If you're ever stressed out, just go to YouTube and watch a Bob Ross video because your stress will go away. You can't be stressed out and watch Bob Ross. It's impossible. It's like the greatest antidote to being stressed. And like this middle of the summer, I go to my mailbox, I open up the mail, and it's these Bob Ross socks. It's these goofy socks with cartoon character of Bob Ross on them, and it says happy little clouds and these little blue and white socks, right? and a little card from my friend Andy down in Scottsdale. And she's like, hey, I saw these, thought of you, and hope you're having an amazing day. It wasn't my birthday. It wasn't an anniversary. It wasn't any special day. It was her just – and look, if Andy asked me for any favor, I would do it. If Andy said, hey, I've got this business, I would absolutely look at it. If Andy had called me for anything, I would be more open-minded. Here's the other thing. This is another thing. This is another habit. So first of all, you know, understanding what people are into, being inquisitive, being a kind of person. Here's the thing, like a bank, right? Don't do this, but I'm going to give you an example. Go into a bank tomorrow that you don't have an account in. Whatever, just you know which one you don't have the account in. Walk in and say, I'd like to make a withdrawal. And they're like, okay, can I get your account number? And you're like, well, I don't have an account here. And they're going to say, well, are you robbing us? No, I'm not robbing you. I'd like to make a withdrawal. Well, excuse me, sir. Let me explain to you how this works. You first start an account. We give you an account number. You put money into that account. And then once you put money into the account, you can withdraw funds out of that account. We all know how that works. It's the same thing in relationships. You can't make a withdrawal from an empty account. So you need to make emotional deposits into the accounts of people that you are connected with. I'm the guy from, I grew up in Seattle, Kirkland, Bellevue, Juanita, Finn Hill area, Seattle area. Lived there for most of my life. Moved to Long Beach, California. Went to Long Beach State. Had my friends from Long Beach State, that crew. Moved to Monterey, California. Spent 11 years living in Monterey. Had my crew of friends from Monterey. Moved back up to Seattle. Have my crew of friends from this other neighborhood in Seattle. Moved to Scottsdale. Was there for 5 years. I have a crew of friends from there. And now I live in Bend, Oregon. And I'm the guy in every single one of those circles that has kept our friends together. Like, I'll reach out to the people from Scottsdale, my Monterey friends, my friends from Long Beach State, my friends from way back in the day. And honestly, if it wasn't for me, many of us, and this is where it requires an effort. I reach out just to stay connected. Not to say I want something from you, just to stay connected, to reach out and call Bart Scott and say, Bart Falcone, what's up? How's it going? How are the kids? What's going on? Checking in. And then if one day I call Bart up and I say, Bart, I got this business that I've been doing. I've been meaning to talk to you about it. You know, when would you have 15 minutes for us to get together? I have no idea whether this would be of any interest to you or not, but at least I'd like to run by you what I'm doing. They're going to be way more receptive to the message, but if the only time you come calling is when you want something, you're never going to get it. You're the red button person. I'm a green button person. You got two buttons on your phone, red and green. I can guarantee you anytime I call somebody, I'm the green button person, not the red button person. This is how you become the green button person, by making regular deposits. In fact, here, do me a favor. Pull out your phone. Most of you are probably on your mobile phone right now, but you know it functions properly. Put it on speakerphone. Go into your address book. I'm going to give you a little challenge right now. Ready? And I know we're not going to unmute the lines and do anything here, but I want you to do this. This is an exercise that will totally change your life, okay? Here's what you do. Go into your phone, go to your address book, start with the letter A. Do it right now while we're on the phone. Put me on speakerphone, open up your address book. All right, cool. Go to the letter A. Find the very first person where it's been at least 6 months since you've had any conversation with them. Shouldn't take that long for most people, believe it or not. I do this on stages all the time. And, you know, people, it's the first person. Find the person. Shouldn't take you probably more than not very long. Okay? As soon as you find that person, open up a text message. Right now, open up a text message. And you're going to send them a text. This is a text, essentially, in your own words. Hey, Jim, Todd Falcone, what's up? Holy smokes, been way too long. We need to catch up. Hope life's treating you well. When's a good time for us to reconnect? It's been way too long. Or whatever your words are. If it was one of my guys from college, and my bro, what's up? Falcone checking in. Holy smokes. Dude, it's been way too long. Let's catch up. Whatever words that you use, use those words. And press send and send that text message. Some of you, your phone's going to ring right away. Don't answer it until we're done with the conference call. Some of you are immediately going to get texts back like, oh, my gosh, I'm so glad you reached out to me. Holy smokes, we definitely got to catch up. Answer your phone later. But here's the thing. I'm doing this for you because you need to be in the habit of staying connected with people. You can't – like if you're a gardener, if you never water or fertilize your garden's going to die. Your list, your contacts, this is your garden. You need to water it. You need to fertilize it. You need to stay connected. You need to start making regular emotional deposits, not just calling them up when you want to talk to them about Legal Shield. Because then when you do call them up about Legal Shield, because you're perceived as a person that has made the effort to stay in contact it separates you from everybody else. Of course they're going to be more receptive because they see you as a person who's made an effort. You've made an effort all these years to stay connected with all the people from Kirkland, Washington. Yeah, I have. From Long Beach State, yes, I have. From Monterey, California, yes, I have. And look, I had a woman 2-3 weeks ago. I was in New Orleans. I was speaking at this event, and she comes up to me, and she's like, "Can I hug you?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I love hugs." She's like, she just wraps her arms around me and gives me this long hug, and she starts crying. And she's like just sobbing, and I'm like, "What's up? What's up?" She's like, "You have no idea." I'm like, "I don't know. What is it? I don't. What is it? Are you okay?" And she said, "No, I'm fantastic. You did this exercise at our last event, and the first person that was on that list was my daughter, who I hadn't spoken to in 4 years. We had no communication for 4 years, and it was very scary for me to send that text, but I did. I've been speaking to my daughter 2 to 3 days a week ever since that experience, and now we've got a better relationship than we've ever had in our entire life. I mean, it's making my hair stand on end right now. You can't see it because we're on a conference call, but literally the hairs on my arm are standing on end. These are the little things that have made the biggest difference for me personally in growing a business, making regular deposits. I have another phrase. Write this down. Wherever you are, be there. These mobile devices that we have are so awesome, but they're also a pain in the butt sometimes when it comes to building relationships and real connections with people. How many times have you sat at a restaurant and watched a group of people and all they're doing is staring at their phone the whole time? I was at a restaurant a couple nights ago, family of four, mom and dad, two kids, all four of them were on the phone the entire time. They didn't even look at each other. I was like sitting there, Mike, we got a rule. My family sits down for dinner, phones are down. I've gone out to dinners with very influential people, like different events I've spoken at. We do an after, you know, big dinner, might be 20 entrepreneurs, very successful entrepreneurs having this big VIP dinner. And I've sat down and like everybody's sitting there and they're all on their phones. And I've left multiple dinners where I've gotten up, like literally, and I do it to make a point, I'm out of there. I'm like, "Hey guys, I'm out of here. Have a great night." And they're like, wait, where are you? What? We haven't even ordered yet. What are you doing? What happened? I'm like, "Well, look, everybody on your phone is obviously more important than the people at the table, so I'm out of here. I'm going to go be with my family." No, stop. We'll put the phones down. I've been chased down at restaurants, brought back in multiple times. I do it to make a point. Like they're great. I love my mobile device. But like if you're sitting down with a client, like, I don't answer the phone. I don't answer text messages. I don't Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I don't do any of that stuff when I'm engaged with somebody. The other part is when you're getting to know somebody and you're multitasking and you're doing something else on the side, like, if you're listening to me right now and you're Twittering or Facebooking, you're not hearing half the things I'm telling you. You could have heard something that changed the total direction of your life and your business, but because you tuned out if only for a second, you missed it. Or you're talking to your ideal prospect that you want to put into your Legal Shield business, and they told you something, but you were tuned out and you were spaced out and you weren't connected with them, and they realized that, like, he didn't even hear what I just said. I just told him the most intimate, I told him something that was deeply important to me, and I know that he didn't hear me. I could tell, because had he heard me, he would have responded like, "Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Holy smokes, I had no idea. Tell me more about that." And so relationship building is one of the greatest keys to my success, because if I look, like, for example, if I ever lost anything out of my computer, and I back up all my data, I've learned to back up, redundantly back up all my stuff, but if there was one thing that I ever lost that would throw me into a tizzy, it would be my contacts. It would be my contacts. And, like, that's how I drum up all my business, my contacts. And I make it a regular point to constantly reach out. It was so beautiful the other day when Facebook was broken. It was awesome. Whatever that was, Thursday of last week. Here's what happened. And I don't know how much, you know, social media you do or how big you guys use social media to grow your business, but there's a lot of network marketers that they build all their business on social media, and if social media breaks, they're done. They're out of business. And I may be speaking to some of you. I don't know who. But if Facebook were to shut down today or you got kicked off of Facebook and your business would suffer a little bit or significantly or gravely suffer, then you need to do things differently. You need to make sure that you have a multitude of reaching out methods. When Facebook was broken, I woke up to do a post in the morning. I'm like, I couldn't get on my page. I'm like, okay, this is weird. Is it my internet connection? What's going on? About it, you know, I try to do it again about 8:30, 9 o'clock. I'm like, okay, whatever. And finally I realized Facebook's broken. So what did I do? I literally shut my Facebook off of my computer, and I hopped on the telephone. I made 77 phone calls that day. By the way, Jim was one of them, because that's the day Jim and I talked, and we scheduled this call. And I got, I mean, I spend time on the phone every single day, but it was so beautiful because I made 77 outgoing phone calls that day, booked multiple calls, webinars, Zooms, events. It was a hugely productive day. My week is stacked this week. I mean, I have multiple webinars. I think I have like 9 or 11. I know it's an odd number. I have to go back and look at my calendar. Webinars and conference calls and Zooms scheduled this week from just Thursday of last week. And I spend a lot of time doing revenue-producing activities. I blend social media with what I do, but I don't think it's a wise idea for anybody to be so dependent on one thing, because if you're so dependent, especially social media, if all you do is grow your business on social media, that's like building your dream house on rented land with a really nasty landlord, because you don't control it. You don't own it. They give us the free liberty of using it, but they make the rules. And I see a lot of networkers that do it. And it's, in fact, there's a bunch of people that were hurting for certain on Thursday of last week. Panic, total panic. I had people messaging me, oh, my gosh, is Facebook down for you too? I'm like, yeah, it's down. I'm good. What's up? I don't even know what to do. I can't get to my groups. I can't do any of this stuff. I'm like, okay, well, you know, what can I tell you? You're too reliant on social media to grow your business. I'm not knocking it. But, look, you guys, here's the thing. One other thing that when Jim first plugged into me years ago, he actually plugged into me through a training called the Championship Prospecting Series, which was me basically making live calls to leads. And you know, Jim and I have been going back and forth for the last several years with you know, and he's done amazingly well, Jim. And so I'm so proud of you to see the accomplishments, the success you've had in Legal Shield. And look, the reason he's had the successes is because he has studied how to get good at the things that we do. Everything that we do in this business is learnable. When I started in network marketing, I was a stuttering, sweaty, nervous wreck. I couldn't recruit hardly anybody to save my life. I was scared. Everybody who I was trying to get in my business, they were older than me. I was a 22-year-old kid. I'm thinking, why would anybody listen to me? I've never made any money. The only jobs I ever had were Jack in the Box and McDonald's and parking cars at Kelly's Restaurant. I mean, I got nothing. Why would anybody follow me? Holy smokes. And I had to hunker down and make a decision that I was going to get good at network marketing. And getting good at network marketing means investing in yourself, investing in understanding how to do it better. I've invested hundreds of thousands of dollars in events and seminars and books and audio video programs. I mean, I have a disc that is, I think we ended up calculating it was about almost $700,000 worth of training material that I've purchased on that I've got all on a couple of different multi-terabyte hard drives, and it's an avenue for me to always go back to and learn. I'm still learning. I'm still growing. I'm still acquiring skills every single day. I would say to you, if you really want to make this a successful career now and into the future, that you decide, like, hey, I'm gonna do everything I can to get good. I'm gonna get myself. It's like one of the things I heard a long time ago is, if you want to be successful, find somebody who has what you want and do what they do. And so I started to follow successful people. I started to listen to successful people. I started to apply the things that these successful people were sharing with me. And interestingly enough, I started to see success. And look, I can be a great resource for you guys. I've spent literally my entire adulthood in network marketing, almost 30 years. There's not a lot about network marketing that I don't know. I'm not going to say I know everything there is to know about network marketing, but I'd say pretty close to it. And I have a lot of different resources that can be super valuable for you guys in growing your Legal Shield business. The timing for us doing this is actually pretty cool for you guys. I want to share something with you real quick. So we, this last week on Thursday, ran a promotion for something. And it's the thing I have called Fearless Academy. Fearless Academy is an online educational platform that has over 100 video tutorials, literally covering every aspect of building a network marketing business in these little bite-sized chunks that are 5 to 10 to 12-minute videos. Literally, I cover everything from I'm in, now what, getting started, what to do in the first 7 days, first 30 days, first 6 months, what happens when you, how do you recruit your first rep, what happens when somebody leaves your team, how do you deal with that, how do you grow explosive volume. I'm not going to go into everything, but it's literally the It's like an A to Z archive of video training. And we sell that for $49.95 a month, $600 a year, every year, $49.95 a month. But we ran a special, and it's still up for the next, I think it expires in just over 48 hours. But you can get into Fearless Academy right now, and instead of paying $49.95 per month every single month, you can get in and you pay $49.95 one time, and you have access to it for life. That's about to end. I'll give you the website. If you want to check it out, you can. It doesn't get it. If I can't give you value for $50 one time, I'm like, what I'm doing. So I'm going to give you a website real quick. It's toddfalcone.com/ID. And that's T-O-D-D, F as in Frank, A-L-C-O-N-E.com. That's like the bird falcon with an E at the end. toddfalcone.com/ID. Like as an identification, ID, right? You go there, you'll see the page. It's only up for a little bit longer, so if you're really wanting to get good, you got an opportunity to get in on something. And all of my existing clients are paying $50 a month. So we ran the special to test. It actually worked. It worked out really good on this webinar we did on Thursday night, and this thing is about to expire. But if you want to take advantage of it, you're certainly welcome to. It's right on that page, toddfalcone.com/ID. And you can go in there and grab it before we shut that promotion down. And you'll have access to that. And by the way, it also includes every single one of my Monday night calls that I've ever recorded. There's probably like 300 hours of my Monday night calls. I've been doing a Monday night call for 17 years, same time, same place. And you'll have access to all those recordings. So it is literally it is a wealth of knowledge and information that you can plug into. So if you want to check that out, feel free to do it. And look, take the stuff that I told you about tonight. Apply it. You know, knowledge is nothing unless you put it to use. Start taking notes on your prospects. Start being more inquisitive. Start, you know, being genuinely interested in other people. Find out who they are, what they're about, what's their driving passion, what's their big interest. Feed it to them. Be a relationship builder, and you'll be a much better business builder in Legal Shield. So, Mr. Tanner, appreciate you so much. I will pass it back to you. Thank you.
Todd, thank you so much, man. I appreciate you. I know you have to run. You have your other call. We're going to post that link so that everybody can get that, and I'll make sure that everybody has that information. Thanks again. We're going to let you go. We super appreciate you, man. Oh, so thankful for you. And as we wrap up the call this evening, I want to remind everybody, if you did not see this, I forgot to mention this at the top of the call, if you did not see in your Sunday newsletter, Jeff Bell has announced that you can bring your guests absolutely for free to the Dallas International Convention. What an incredible recruiting opportunity this is. Go back to your newsletter and get all the details about how you register your guests so they can attend for free when you get to the event. So all the details are in your newsletter. If for some reason you don't have your newsletter, just post in the Facebook group and we'll make absolutely sure that you get that information. And I'm also going to post Todd's link so you can take advantage of that incredible offer. Again, that's toddfalcone.com, T-O-D-D-F-A-L-C-O-N-E, falcon with an E on it, .com/ID for that incredible information. Thanks again, Todd, for spending the time with us. I know that he had to jump off and go do his Monday evening call. And just the availability of all the archives of his hundreds of hours of Monday night calls, that's incredible as well. That's something I've been plugged into for years and continue to plug into, and that's my next destination this evening as well. So thank you all so much for joining us tonight on our GY3 Success Team call. We are just days away from the Dallas International Convention, the biggest event in the history of Legal Shield. Don't miss it. Get registered today. If you're not, get your team there. Make sure everybody knows how to register and that they have their plans and accommodations in place. And if you have any questions about how to make this week a big momentum-building week in your business, make sure you reach out to your sponsors, your executive director, your platinum executive director. We are here to help you have a phenomenal finish to the month of March 2019 as we roll into convention. Thanks again to Chris Ward and Todd Falcone, and thank all of you for joining us on the call this evening. We wish you a wonderful evening and a great week.